You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Are you ready?
Yes.
I've been cleaning brush and clearing out brush all week this week at my place. Y'all had better show up this afternoon. But I was thinking about, you know, it's amazing, it's not what I'm teaching on per se, but how cluttered up our lives can get if you neglect it. And I noticed around my pond, I've neglected it for 2-3 years. And it gets cluttered and messed up. And any farmer will tell you, when you don't brush hog a field for a year, you don't just come back and knock the weeds down the next year. You got little trees. And you let it go 2-3 years, and you're going to have to get your chainsaw out because the brush hog won't do it. But our lives are kind of like that. Of course, me, I'm a preacher. I see a sermon and everything. We get cluttered by neglect. And what happens is it gets so cluttered, areas of your life you neglect, you don't pray, you don't turn over to God, you don't obey God in, they get so cluttered and so filled up with vines and weeds that it just blocks out the light. The thing that I really notice most of all when you're clearing brush or a fence row or whatever is how much light comes in. I mean, you go, wow, man, look at all this light. I can see, you know. Whereas before it was just dark and trees, vines everywhere. You get in there and you start cleaning house, the light of God begins to come in. And if you will make the effort, and sometimes it's tough and sometimes it's day by day and it takes a while, you know, you didn't get in the mess you're in overnight, you're probably not going to get out overnight. But you can get out if you'll head in the right direction. Little by little, the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. That's kind of what happens when we come to church. We get in the Word, we study the Word, little by little, it starts coming alive, pieces start coming together, the picture starts becoming clearer. The reason for that many times is because of distance. The more you serve God, the closer you get to Him and to His Word, and the closer you get to something, the clearer it becomes. Things become clearer by approach. So you want to approach this thing. Amen. Start out somewhere. It may be way off, but start heading that direction. You may have a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of a promise, a glimmer of God's Word concerning your matter, your situation, your family, your business, whatever the case may be. But follow that light. If you'll go closer and closer, it'll get bigger and bigger. Hallelujah. And finally, it'll consume the panorama or the landscape, and all you'll be able to see is victory, the promise, and God's Word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 118. Found it? Did I tell you where to turn a while ago? Yeah, I got you. See, I had marked. I knew where I was going. To tell you the truth, I know what I'm going to say next, too. So, Psalms 118. This is a real familiar verse. I've taught on this before. We used to sing this song, This is the Day the Lord Has Made. Remember that song? This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, that's way back years ago when we did the charismatic can-can. You know, let's hop on one foot and the other foot. Okay. Now it's this. Okay. We do it differently now, dude. Anyway, this is the day the Lord has made. We used to sing that song, and we'd quote this verse, and I've heard many people say that something's going wrong. We'll stand up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You sound real excited about that. But you make a statement, this is God's day. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We make a decision, a choice. Rejoicing is a choice. To rejoice is a choice. It's a matter of the will. You decide to do that. But if you look at this in context, actually, it does cover that, no question. Excuse me. But he's talking about salvation. He's talking about Jesus has paid the price for our sin, that He has given us or attained for us righteousness. He is the stone that the builders rejected. If you back up the verse before that, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes, salvation, eternal life, the born-again experience. This is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. In other words, this salvation, this redemption, this Savior, hallelujah, this thing called Christianity, this being in Christ now, born again, going to heaven, this is the day the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Really about all we can do, because we didn't earn it. We're not good enough to be saved. We didn't do it. It's what God did. We didn't make it. He made it. We just rejoice and are glad in it. In fact, even as far as us overcoming, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. He's the one that overcame, just like the song we sang. And we accept that victory. We receive that victory by faith, and we thank Him, we rejoice Him for it. But anyway, I was reading this one time, and actually I was doing a missions banquet for Walt and Eva Langston down in Houston years ago. And I was ministering on this verse, and it began to come alive to me, some things I'd like to share with you. You ready? Okay. This is the day the Lord has made. Think about it this way. You know, the devil never made a day in his life. Now, every day is God's day. This is the day the Lord has made. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you is God or everything that takes place is God or His will. The devil many times tries to disrupt God's day and mess up God's day and mess up your day. But what you have to do is always fall back on the fact that this is the Lord's day, not the devil's day. Don't let the devil have his due. Don't let the devil have his day. This is the Lord's day. Amen. So it's kind of a matter of authority and a matter of lordship. You decide when you get up in the morning who's going to be the Lord of your day. Who's the real power here, the devil or God? God is. And when something comes in that's not God, then you need to stand up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it and turn the thing around. Pray about it. When something's not right and something's not the way it's supposed to be, you need to appeal to the greater power, the one who made the day. Are you with me? That's why we can rejoice even when things go bad, because we can pray and turn it around. We can turn it over to God, and God is the greater power. He's the maker and the creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And He's the one that made all days. And He made this day. Not everything that happens in this day, but He made this day. And this is His day, not the devil's day. Don't let the devil have this day. Don't everybody shout at once just because I'm preaching good. Hello. But you got to take some initiative. You got to take some accountability. You got to bow your knee to the right God here. To the maker of heaven and earth, the only God. And quit bowing your knee to the circumstance. Quit bowing your knee to the problem. Quit bowing your knee to the devil. No, this is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice, hallelujah, and be glad in it. I have an opportunity to give up and go under and be down and depressed, but I rejoice. And I'm going to be glad in this day. Start singing that song we sang earlier. When I think about the Lord. How He saved me. How He raised me. How He filled me with the Holy Ghost. How He healed me to the uttermost. Well, it makes me want to shout. Are you with me? Makes me want to praise Him. Makes me want to rejoice in Him. This, see, you got to claim lordship, the lordship of Jesus Christ here. You got to claim this is God's day and bow your knee to Him and to His Word. And let His Word rule instead of circumstance and trials and tribulation, instead of what the devil's trying to mess up, what he's trying to throw across your path or his load of goods he's trying to deliver at your door. Don't you sign for it. You send him packing on down the road. Hallelujah. Amen. Not going to take it, not going to receive it, not going to sign for it. Hallelujah. Why? Because this is the day the Lord's made. Amen. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, Romans 10:9, classic verse, we all know that. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. We all know that. The 10th verse says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's some insight there about believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth. What you believe in your heart is what you're going to confess with your mouth, incidentally. And if you are talking negatively and defeat all the time, that's because that's what's in your heart. What you need to do is get something else in your heart, God's Word. And then because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, when you get God's Word in your heart, that's what will come out of your mouth. And you know what? That's what will come to you. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto healing. With the mouth, confession is made unto joy. You have to confess unto it. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my, that's good preaching. Hallelujah. You confess unto it. And so that's why it's so important to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Joy will come Gladness will come in the midst of trial, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of crisis. We can rise above it. This is God's day. I bow my knee to Jesus. I confess He is Lord, not the devil, not this problem, not this crisis. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. And He's above this situation. He's above this crisis. He's bigger and better than this. And I can believe Him and trust Him and get through this thing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
But I make that declaration. I make that confession. I claim Jesus is Lord of this day, not the devil. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Why be glad in this mess? Because it's not going to stay a mess.
That's right.
Oh, the thief did come to steal, kill, destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. And just like that song, you know, you got to serve somebody. Come on, Bob Dylan, you know, the old Bob Dylan song. You know, he served God for just a short period of time, put out a couple Christian albums and went right back. But anyway, you know, he had that Slow Train Coming album. Y'all remember that? Okay, most of y'all probably don't. But anyway, he had that Slow Train Coming album. And on there he says, you've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. Well, we decide we're going to serve God.
Amen.
We're going to decide that this is the day the Lord has made. That the devil may come, steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because it's not going to rule the day. This crisis is not going to rule the day. When this day's over, praise God, Jesus is Lord, not the devil. And I'll be rejoicing. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A broken spirit dryeth the bones. He that is of a merry heart, the Bible says, has a continual feast. So I'm just going to feast today on the goodness of God. On the day He has made. Now notice this. Next verse, 25th verse. Save now, I pray, O Lord. Everybody say, save.
Save.
Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Now think about it. Why would he be saying, save now, I pray, O Lord, send now prosperity? Well, evidently there's a need. He is in the middle of a day that's not turning out so good, but he's declaring, this is the day the Lord has made. He's declaring he will rejoice and be glad in it, and he will pray and cry out to God to change the circumstance. A couple of you got it. Everything's not going right, but he's determined to make it right. Everything's not looking good per se, but he knows who God is and he knows whose day this is. And he knows how to get God on his side, as it were, or cooperate with God, or to move in God's circle, in God's, you know, with God's team there. How you do that? Well, first of all, you declare it's his day. You start rejoicing in him and then you cry out to him to help you. Save now, O Lord. See, he needed salvation. He needed deliverance. He was in a mess and that wasn't God. Get it?
Amen.
He recognized it wasn't God. And so he said, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to cry out for God to help me. He recognized the thief comes, steal, kill, destroy. That what was going on here was a thief, not God. And so he, knowing God is God, not the devil. Knowing this day is God's day, not the devil's day. Knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. Not this sickness, not this depression, not this problem, not this crisis. Not this trial, not this tribulation. No, 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 no. Jesus Christ is Lord. And if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead, I will be saved. I will be delivered. I will be set free. I'll be healed. I'll be helped. Woo! Save now, O Lord. Because it's your day, God. Hey. You're the real power here, not the devil. So I cry out to you. In fact, you know, I was quoting Romans 10:9 and 10:10. The 13th verse says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. That's where we miss it. We don't always call. We just go through life, whatever happens, happens. That old Doris Day song, Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I got about a third of y'all. The rest of you going, Doris Day? Listen, it's not whatever will be. It's whatever you believe will be. It's whatever you call on God for will be. Face it, you were going to hell, but you call on Jesus, now you're going to heaven. You made a choice to accept Jesus. You made a choice to call on Jesus. You made a choice to pray and to believe God's word concerning that matter. And God always wanted you to go to heaven, but see, God's will wasn't coming to pass because you hadn't accepted Him or agreed with Him or called on Him. See, the idea that everything happens in life's God is just, it's foreign to the Bible. The Bible's filled with descriptions and definitions of what the devil does, and descriptions and definitions and examples of what God does. And you choose who you're going to serve. God tells you to tell the truth, not lie. Amen. The commandments are there for a purpose because there are certain things that God doesn't like and God doesn't will and God doesn't want. Now, if you want to get in His will, you have to obey His commands. So to lie wouldn't be God's will. So if you've been lied to, or you lied, that wasn't the will of God. Are you with me? So that wasn't God's will. So everything happens not God. Murder's not God. Thou shalt not kill, that's murder. That would not be God. So the Bible's filled with descriptions of what the devil does and what God does. And you and I are in the middle here. We decide who we're going to serve. And what the psalmist is saying is that this is the day the Lord has made. God's the real power here, not the devil.
Right.
Why let the devil rule your life? Why let him have your family? Why let him have your body? Why let the devil rule your finances, take your mind, your soul? No, 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 no. You rise up. You say enough's enough. You be like Popeye. I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. You get out your can of spinach, God's word. It's amazing what you can do. You get a hold of the promises of God. Amen?
Amen.
It is amazing what you can do if you will declare whose day this is and declare the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life and rejoice and then call on God and say, Lord, save me now. Deliver me. And send now prosperity.
Yeah.
Woo! I didn't say that. God said that. Y'all see that? Y'all believe this is the day the Lord has made?
Yeah.
I mean, we believe that, don't we? This is God's day. You believe we ought to rejoice and be glad in it?
Yeah.
Well, sure. It's in the Scripture. It says that. Do you believe we ought to call out on God to save us and deliver us and help us?
Yeah.
It tells us to do that in the very next verse. Do you believe God wants to prosper us?
Yeah.
It says that right here too, doesn't it?
Yes.
In fact, that's all through the Scripture. While we're in the Psalms, just think about this. Psalms 35, verse 27 says, shout for joy, ye that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say. Let them say, the Lord, Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of the servant. I believe is what it says. I've been clearing too much brush this week. Stay with me. Psalms 35, 27 says, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of a servant. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you favor His righteous cause? We're those people, right? Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. But you're not shouting. Anyway, do you favor His righteous cause? Woo! Hallelujah! Let them shout for joy.
Amen.
Okay, I got four or five of you. But then it says, yay. Everybody say yay.
Yay.
Okay. You know, the Beatles made a song. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Yay. Let them continually say. Get it? Let them who? Us who favor His righteous cause. Well, we're shouting for joy. Yea, let them shout for joy. Then that favors righteous cause. Yea. Y'all get it in a minute. Let them that favors righteous cause, let them continually say. What is it that we're supposed to continually say? Let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Woo-hoo! God takes pleasure in my prosperity.
That's right.
He really does. And so when things aren't going right, I should pray. I should call on God because He takes pleasure not in my poverty. He takes pleasure. He desires for me to prosper. He takes pleasure in prosperity. He does not desire, nor does He take pleasure in me going under. That's not in the Bible. That's not in there. The Bible says He takes pleasure in my prosperity. And I ought to continually say that. Then if you think of Psalms 37, verse 25, there's a good one. I've been young, I've been old. Now, I'm just quoting the Scripture. I'm not old. But anyway. He says, I've been young and I've been old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging bread. He's ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed upon the earth. Think about that. The psalmist was saying, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God takes care of us if we trust Him, if we believe Him. Psalms 34, verse 10 says this, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. Woo! Amen. Send now, O Lord, prosperity. And I quoted when we were talking about healing earlier in the service, 3 John 2, where it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God does want us to prosper, but see, you and I have to lay claim to this, take some accountability, and realize that our prayers make the difference. That when we give our allegiance and service to God, then He begins to move in our lives. He's waiting for us to make that declaration. Now, if we're continually talking about the problem and we're constantly whining about it and we're never really praying, never really turning it over to God, we can't expect God to come through. This will not be the day the Lord has made. I'll tell you what, we'll let the devil take the day over. You ever let the devil have his day? Sure you have. We've all done it. And we need to turn it back around and say, this is the day the Lord's made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. And cry out, save now, O Lord. I beseech thee, send now, O Lord, prosperity. The Amplified Bible here says that give us now success. It says, send prosperity and give us success. I like that. How many of you believe God wants you to succeed in life? And we're not talking about just having more money, more cars, more houses. We're talking about being prosperous in all areas of our life. I mean, that's just a good family. You know, there's a lot more than just money involved here. Money is part of it, but it's a lot more than just that. We're a prosperous church in one sense. We're out of debt. Our bills are paid. But see, we have prosperity with a purpose. We gave $126,000 to missions last year, and we've given over $1 million in the last 10 years to missions. We believe in giving and blessing and helping, and we're building buildings and paying cash. We're not going in debt over the whole deal. Hello. And, you know, we have a nice church, nice building, but we're not just extravagant in the building. We don't have chandeliers all over the place. Nothing wrong with chandeliers if you're watching this and you have chandeliers in your church. I'm just saying we just got the building up and it's just functional for us, and we're building another building. It's going to be functional for us. And you know what? If the money were to come in like that, we'd have no problem having something fancy. I just want the chandeliers high enough where you can't grab and start swinging from them, because they're already saying that about us in town. That's all they do down there is swing on old chandeliers. So we took them out, and no, we didn't. We never put them in. And, you know, they said we run pews, so we put chairs in. We got rid of that rumor, you know. But you never know what we're going to do. It's kind of wild around here, amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, that's because we're excited about Jesus.
Amen.
We're excited to be here. We actually love God. And we get to church. We love to come to church.
Amen.
Why? Because this is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. And we will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
We can't wait to get down here. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. I mean, it's not a duty per se. Yes, we should do it. Yes, we should get involved in church. But we love to come to church. We love to serve God and worship God. Love to worship and the worship, you know, the praise and the worship. We get involved in all that. Love that preacher. Woo! Man, we love that preacher. He keeps us awake. We don't fall asleep, you know. Actually understand every once in a while something he says. That's always nice when you're listening to a preacher and you understand what they say. That's always good. I've been in services, I didn't understand a word they said. I didn't know what they were talking about. Hallelujah. Okay. So he says, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. They are praying for prosperity. My God, what's wrong with these people? A bunch of prosperity preachers. Now, I realize there's extremists in every camp. I understand that. You can go too far with anything. But prosperity is the will of God.
Amen.
They're actually praying for it right here. in declaring it's God's day and in calling on God to help them, they're praying for God to prosper them also. I'll guarantee you we couldn't do what we're doing if we weren't prospering. We sure couldn't do what we're doing, building our buildings and providing Hallelujah Night for our community and the surrounding communities. Thousands of kids and people come to that, and we do that free. We couldn't do that if we didn't believe in prosperity. We couldn't stand up and say we gave $126,000, a church our size, a town our size, if we didn't believe in prosperity. Hello. But see, when I think of prosperity, that's what I think about. I think of the outreaches we have and the way we're able to help the community and bless the world. We're reaching the world from Wills Point, Texas. Why? Because we're praying that God will prosper us. That's prosperity with a purpose. That's turning gold into souls. Far too long, see, the church has tried to be poor and tried to stay poor as if that were some kind of humble thing or pious thing, and the world has gone to hell. Because we can't reach them, we can't get out there, we can't do anything because we don't have any money and we won't believe for any money. And if you're going to have vision and you're going to grow and you're going to get on television, if you're going to reach out around the world with missions and support crusades and missionaries and like Wilbur Bezidi from Kampala, Uganda, we had last week, if you're going to support people like that are doing things around, you're going to have to believe for prosperity. You must believe that God will bless you.
Amen.
Quit letting the devil have his day. And give this back to God. This is God's day.
Amen?
Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so, y'all getting something out of this?
Amen.
I'm preaching myself happy. I'm having a good time. I hope y'all are enjoying it too. 26 verse, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We ought to be blessed if we come in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
Not cursed, blessed. We ought to get excited about people who come in the name of the Lord because we know something good's going to happen. Because when God's in it, blessing's going to come. When God's in it, prosperity's going to come. Salvation's going to come. He's going to save us. He's going to prosper us. He's what we've been looking for, or who we've been looking for all of our life. He's what we've been needing in this situation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. That's what, listen, when you get that straight in your life, listen, you'll get on the victory road and out of that victim mode.
That's right.
When you get this straight, blessing comes from the house of the Lord. It comes from God. Doesn't come from everything else in this world. It comes from God. And it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. I like that. I mean, from God's house. That's what, not just church. I'm talking about God in general. It comes from him. Blessing comes from him. Prosperity comes from him. Salvation comes from him. Peace you're looking for comes from him. That's where it comes from. Keep it straight. Keep your focus. Keep your focus here now. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life, but stay focused here. You got to stay focused on God. This is God's day. You got to be quick to trust him, call on him, cry out to him, ask him to help you because your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalms, 121 tells us that. Hallelujah. I lift my eyes to the hills whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Yes.
Ooh, hallelujah. So it says here, I'm bringing this to close. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. I don't think you got it. God is the Lord, and he has given us light.
Amen.
I hope you got a little light from that. Because when you get the clutter out and you clear out the brush, I start out talking about that, light begins to come in, doesn't it? Because our lives get cluttered with a lot of things, a lot of crisis, a lot of happenings in our life, depression, all these kinds of things, finances, pressure. And we at some point you've got to clear all that out and let the light come in. And it's hard work. It is. I mean, clearing brush is hard work. Sometimes you get a little cut up, scratched up doing it. That's okay. Get slapped in the face a few times with the limbs. Hello. But if you'll get in there and you bear down and you stay with it, light will come. Light will come. Clear it out. Get it out. There's some weeds in your thinking you need to get out. There's some old brush and vines that are starting to crop up in your mind that's wrong. You need to cut that down and get that out of your life and out of your thinking. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. God's not your problem. He's your answer. God's not putting you through something. He's wanting to take you out of something.
That's right.
Hello. You need to call on Him to help you and save you and prosper you. And you know what will happen? From the house of the Lord, blessing will come. God is the Lord, and He has given us light. Now, actually, He talks about celebrating. Now, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, hallelujah. I am not going to give in to this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship God. I am not going to bow down to this. I am not going to throw the towel in here. I'm not going to quit after believing God and trusting God when the first time the devil sticks his ugly head up. I am not going to put up with that. I am not going to let the devil have my marriage. I'm not going to let the devil have my kids. I am not going to let the devil have my finances, my church, my ministry. I am not going to let that happen. I'm going to stand up and pray and believe God. I'm not going to let the devil have my mind that Jesus shed His blood to wash me clean. Woo! I think about here it is Memorial Day weekend. You know, freedom is not cheap. We remember this time of the year people who died that we could be free in this country. Thank God for the United States of America. God bless the United States of America. It's the greatest nation on earth. I believe that. In the natural. I'm talking natural here. I know there's nothing compared to God's kingdom. But we are in the greatest nation in this world. Because people have shed their blood that we could be free. That we could raise our children. That we could go to church and worship God without someone coming in and taking over the service. Are you with me? We have that kind of freedom. It costs something. We ought to take advantage of that. It costs something. Why would you let that kind of freedom, that liberty, be stolen from you when people shed their blood so that you could enjoy this freedom that we have in this country? Amen. Why would you let the devil come in and take over your life when Jesus shed His blood so you could be free and run the devil out of your life? You know, I'm not advocating everybody watch the movie Saving Private Ryan. It's a pretty violent movie. But any of y'all seen that movie, Saving Private Ryan? Okay, all right. Okay. There's no sin here. Stay with me. I don't have a list. I'm writing your names down. You watch that movie. But the movie is about Ryan. He was a private. And several of his brothers, I think, were killed. Private Ryan, yeah. Four of his brothers were killed. Three or four. And so what they did, they sent out this team to go get him, recover him, and bring him back home before he got killed. And this poor mama lost all of her boys in a war. World War II, I believe, is the setting. And so that was the quest. You know, they went through all this, and finally they find him. And boy, they all lose their lives saving him. Yeah. And then the movie shoots to modern day, and there's this old man in a graveyard. It was the unknown soldiers, I believe is where it was, for all the just marker after marker after marker of soldiers. We don't even know the names of all these soldiers. And he was kneeling down by this grave, looking back at his family, and he had kids and grandkids. You could see them all there. And he was crying. He was tearing up. And he said, I get emotional every time I think about it. He looks back and he says, have I been a good man? And they said, of course. And what the point was, when they died saving him, the last thing they told him says, make this count. You make this count. And so it ended like that. He wanted to make sure his life counted because people died that he would live. They gave their lives so he would live. Well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Do you know that? He died for your healing. He died for your prosperity. He died for your peace, your salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. How dare you and I let the devil have this day and let what Jesus did be done in vain? Make it count. Are you listening? Make it count. Make your day, make your family count. Make your ministry count. Make your life count. Somebody shed blood for you that you could be free. His name is Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. It's marvelous in our eyes. That's what He says. I will rejoice and be glad in it. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, hey, fill me with the Holy Ghost and heal me to the uttermost. Well, makes me want to shout.
Amen.
Amen.